Ever get kind of like lost in thought about those giant creatures that used to roam around, you
Yeah.
know? Like dinosaurs always come to mind first, but what about the sky? Like imagine, I know, the biggest bird you've ever seen, then like multiply it. Because today we're going deep on a bird with a wingspan like a small plane, Argentavis magnificens.
And you're spot on to start with the size, because this wasn't just some big bird. It really makes you rethink like what we thought was possible for a creature to actually fly.
For sure. So we're diving into some fascinating research papers all about Argentavis. And that big question we got to unpack is, how did something so massive get off the ground? Like, really?
It's a real head scratcher, one that's puzzled scientists for ages.
Yeah.
And while we don't have every answer yet, the findings give us some seriously incredible clues.
Okay, so paint us a picture here. South America, 6 million years ago, late Miocene, Epoch Messinian Age to be exact. We're talking a world where everything was supersized rock.
Absolutely. The creatures back then were often just way bigger than the modern relatives.
Okay, so to wrap our heads around how big this bird was, we're talking a wingspan of up to 23 feet.
Wow.
Yeah, like try parking a Cessna in your living room.
It really puts things into perspective, right? When you think about birds we see today, like the wandering albatross has that record wingspan measures about 12 feet. Argentavis basically doubles that.
And it wasn't just long, it was tall too, up to 6.5 feet. That's taller than most people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And let's not forget the weight. Estimates put it between 154 and 216 pounds. That's heavier than a full-grown person. Makes its closest living relative, the Andean condor, look like a hummingbird almost. Yeah. All right, so we've established Argentavis's was gigantic, but that just makes its ability to fly even more of a mystery. Seriously, how on earth did it even get off the ground?
$1 million question right there. And it's one that the research we're looking at really tries to tackle. See, when scientists got their hands on the fossil evidence, they found something pretty unexpected. The bird's sternum, which is the bone that anchors those flight muscles, it was surprisingly small.
So it wasn't exactly built like an eagle then, relying on pure power to just soar through the air.
Not quite.
So more about riding those updrafts and gliding over like prehistoric South America
Right.
makes sense given how huge it was. But what about taking off and landing? How'd something that big even manage that?
I don't think graceful is the word that comes to mind.
Right.
Even with updrafts, getting a bird that massive off the ground, it would have taken some serious effort. Scientists think Argentavis probably used like a combo of strong leg muscles, get a running start, and then unfurl those huge wings to catch any little bit of breeze.
Wow, I can just picture it. This flurry of feathers, powerful legs pumping, and then slowly this majestic creature rises off the ground, casting a shadow over everything. Must have been something to see. But enough about how it flew. What did this giant bird actually eat? What was on the menu for something that size?
That's a question that's caused a lot of debate, but most of the evidence points to Argentavis being a carnivore. But there's a twist. It wasn't the like fearsome predator you might expect with a creature that big.
Wait, hold on. Don't tell me this gentle giant was swooping down and snatching up prey like some kind of prehistoric murder bird.
Not exactly. Remember we talked about that smaller sternum? Well, that means weaker flapping power. So Argentavis probably wasn't built for the kind of agility and speed you need to be a good hunter.
So if not a hunter, then what?
Well, the main theory is that Argentavis was a scavenger. Picture this: Argentavis soaring high above its sharp eyes, scanning for any hint of a recent kill, maybe something left behind by one of those fearsome terror birds that roamed around back then.
Terror birds. You're not making this up, are you?
Oh, they were real and they earned that name. Giant, flightless birds, some as tall as 10 feet, with these massive, axe-like beaks. They were like the apex predators of their time.
Okay, now you're just giving me nightmares. But I guess if those terror birds were around, there'd be a pretty steady supply of leftovers for a scavenging Argentavis, right?
Exactly. And it wasn't just the terror birds either. Giant mammals roamed South America too back then, including one particularly tough customer called Phylacosmalus.
Phylacosmos, that's a mouthful. What was that?
Imagine a marsupial, but with saber-like teeth. They were powerful predators and definitely would have competed with Argentavis for food.
Now that's a prehistoric showdown. Giant bird versus saber-toothed marsupial.
Yeah.
Who do you think usually won those battles?
Tough to say for sure, but I'd put my money on Argentavis more often than not. Not necessarily because it was stronger or more aggressive, but because it had one big advantage. Flight Phylacosmalus was stuck on the ground, while Argentavis could just spread its wings and take off with its prize.
Makes sense. Speaking of soaring, it makes you wonder how long do these majestic creatures actually grace the skies? Did something that massive live a long time, or was it a short burst of glory?
Scientists studying Argentavis were really curious about that too. And while we can't say for sure, all the signs point to it being a long-lived species.
Really? I always thought bigger animals tended to have shorter lifespans.
That's true a lot of the time, but Argentavis might be an exception. Remember, not many natural predators, especially not in the air, and its scavenging lifestyle, while not without risks, was definitely less dangerous than constantly hunting.
So less wear and tear on the body, fewer life or death struggles? I can see how that would mean a longer lifespan.
Exactly. And there's another clue about Argentavis's lifespan in its presumed reproductive strategy. It's called case selection.
Case selection? Sounds intense. What is that exactly?
It's a pretty simple idea, actually. Basically, case-selected species like Argentavis, they go for quality over quantity when it comes to their offspring. They have fewer babies, but they really invest in taking care of them, making sure they have a high chance of survival. Think of elephants or whales. They usually live a long time, reproduce slowly, and their young need a lot of care.
Ah, so it's all about making sure each offspring has the best possible chance to survive.
Exactly. And with Argentavis, scientists think they probably only laid one or two eggs every couple of years, with both parents sharing the responsibility of raising their chick.
Wow, talk about dedicated parenting. So we've got these massive birds soaring through the skies, living long lives, and carefully raising their young. It's like Argentavis was the symbol of stability in a world full of giants and ferocious predators.
I like that. That's a beautiful way to put it, and probably pretty accurate. Their size longevity and this case selection strategy all suggest that Argentavis played a significant and stable role in their ecosystem for a very long time.
This is why I love these deep dives. We start with what seems like a simple question about a giant bird, and suddenly we're on this incredible journey through prehistoric ecosystems, uncovering all these fascinating details about life millions of years ago. But before we get too caught up in the big picture, I got to ask about some of the smaller details. What are some of the most interesting footnotes about Argentavis that you found in your research?
Oh, I've got a few that I think you'll find pretty cool. First off, did you know that Argentavis magnificens literally translates to mighty, magnificent Argentinian birds?
That's just perfect. Yeah. It's not every day you come across a creature that truly lives up to its name.
And speaking of living up to its name, remember how we compared its wingspan to a Cessna 152? Well, to really put it into perspective, Argentavis's wingspan was almost as wide as a Volkswagen Beetle is long.
I know we've talked about its size, but those comparisons never fail to blow my mind. It's like something straight out of a fantasy novel. But this is all based on real scientific findings, right? Where did they even find Argentavis fossils?
Right here on Earth, though, it took some digging. The first Argentavis fossils were discovered in Argentina near a place called Salinas Grandes de Hidalgo, about 400 miles southwest of Buenos Aires. Paleontologists found skull fragments, wing bones, leg bones, enough to piece together a remarkably detailed picture of this ancient giant.
It's incredible how much information scientists can get from just a few fossilized bones. It's like they're putting together a jigsaw puzzle, millions of years old.
It really shows the power of scientific curiosity and the incredible stories that fossils can tell. And here's something even more interesting. Recent discoveries suggest that birds similar to Argentavis might have also existed in North America, potentially even interacting with early humans.
Whoa, now that's a thought. Imagine sharing a continent with birds that had the wingspan of a small plane. Our ancestors must have had some incredible stories to tell.
Stories we can only imagine today. But it speaks to just how vast Earth's history is and the endless possibilities hidden within the fossil record. It makes you wonder what other colossal creatures are out there just waiting to be discovered.
It's both exciting and humbling, isn't it? But for now, let's get back to our magnificent friend Argentavis. We've covered its size, its flight, its diet, even its lifespan and family life. But I have one last question, a big picture kind of question. What was Argentavis's ecological role? How did it shape its world?
Yeah, it really does make you think about how it all fits together, right? Here's Argentavis, this giant bird cruising over ancient South America. What kind of impact did a creature like that have?
I mean, the impact of a big scavenger like Argentavis, it would be huge on a lot of different levels. Think of it like nature's cleanup crew.
Keeping things tidy, stopping diseases from spreading, that sort of thing. Yeah, exactly. By like effectively getting rid of carrion Argentavis, it would have played a key role in keeping that ecosystem healthy. It's easy to forget about scavengers, but they're crucial for preventing that buildup of decaying matter, which can cause all sorts of issues.
So Argentavis, the unsung hero of hygiene in prehistoric South America.
I like that. But their impact goes way beyond just keeping things clean. Remember those terror birds we talked about?
How can I forget about those? Giant, flightless birds with axe-like beaks. not exactly something you forget easily.
Well, just imagine what it was like after one of their kills.
Right.
A massive carcass attracting all kinds of scavengers, maybe even leading to fights between different predators. But Argentavis, with its size and its ability to fly high above it all, could have played a unique role in those situations.
So not just a scavenger, but like a peacekeeper of the prehistoric plains.
In a way, yeah. Their presence might have even helped to control the competition for resources, keeping things from getting out of hand.
Hmm.
It's really cool how even the way a creature eats can have these ripple effects across its whole ecosystem.
It shows how every single creature, no matter how big or small, has a vital role to play in this intricate web of life.
Right.
And with Argentavis, we're talking about a creature that really pushed the limits of what we thought was possible for birds.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder what other secrets about the prehistoric past are still out there waiting to be discovered. What other incredible creatures are just waiting for their moment in the spotlight?
It's a humbling thought to realize how much we've learned about Argentavis.
Mm.
Yet there's still so much we don't know.
Yeah.
It's like we're just scratching the surface of understanding these ancient giants.
Right. That's the beauty of paleontology. Every discovery is a glimpse into a lost world, and it's on us to piece those fragments together and imagine the possibilities.
Well said. A good reminder that the natural world is full of wonder, even in its extinct forms. Thanks so much for diving into this with me. I always learn a ton from these conversations.
The pleasure was all mine. Until next time, keep exploring those wonders of the world, both the past and the present.